to the worldwide broadcast of the Health Masters, Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. You know, lots of stuff going on as always. And you with us, Dad? I heard you bouncing around. Gotcha. Okay, I heard him come in real quick, so we're good to go then. So it looks like he'll be in here in about 10 minutes. He's getting some stuff situated. And then we'll get him in here. What first thing I want to start off with today, this is becoming quite troubling, especially friends. I even have family out there in Dallas, but this is out by Austin, Texas. If you guys saw today that they had another triggered bomb go off over in Travis County country area over in Austin, Texas today. Now, this is a bit troubling because this is the fourth bomb that's gone off this month, and two men basically were seriously injured so far. You know, we've had numerous people injured, two people killed from this. And so, you know, they got to figure out what is going on with this. And there's some weird things that are going on, especially with this situation, because I've been reading about it, been digging into it some. And the first thing I saw today is that residents were ordered to stay indoors for basically the last 2 days now after this essentially sidewalk IED went off. This wasn't a doorstep bomb. This was actually a tripwire triggered IED, essentially, that was on the side of a bike path. They said the explosion injured two men, aged 22 and 23, when they ran a tripwire while they were riding their bicycles down the sidewalk. Now, here's what gets it a little bit more interesting, which I understand the fluid nature of a situation like this when you're actually dealing with somebody that's putting out IEDs like this, but they told residences in the Travis country area they were ordered to stay in their homes until Monday morning and no school buses were going to drive through the area. Well, I got the school buses part. Mainly said authorities kept the surrounding area blocked off until further notice because of overnight darkness and the size of the area that they wanted to go in and check. Police kept residential streets on full lockdown, gradually expanding their barricades and closing off all roads in the surrounding area neighborhood. Before daybreak on Monday, Austin police pushed another alert to cell phones advising residents to continue staying indoors and to call 911 if they needed to leave their homes in the morning, essentially to get permission if they could leave. This is the issue I have with this. When you're dealing with bombs, obviously you have to maintain a good area as far as you can cordon off and search. But secondly, you also have to maintain freedom. You know, when you come into a situation like this, the whole area, the neighborhood, the whole surrounding area, there needs to be some type of meeting. If it's not all in person, it can be in Skype or it needs to be in FaceTime to discuss things that people need to be looking out for, like seeing a backpack on the side of the road or something that looks like somebody dug something up. You know, a lot of the guys that worked bomb patrol in Afghanistan would be very, very efficient at this, at describing essentially, you know, IEDs that are put out. But the issue I have with this is they're basically doing a soft martial law in this Travis country area to where they're telling everybody you cannot leave your home, and if you do, you have to call 911 to ask for permission to leave your home. I got kind of an issue with that. Regardless of the situation that's going on, when you start forcing people to be restricted to their homes, and remember what I told you guys a couple weeks ago? I said California has already been pretty much fully disarmed. I mean, their level of guns that they can have are essentially useless in that country. They're the most populated state in the country. Florida, being the third most populated state in the country, just had some of the most egregious gun laws we've ever seen in the entire country placed upon us, including complete ban on your Second Amendment if you're under the age of 21, including very, very, very vague language on the bump fire stock accessory and the ability to come in and restrict people's rights to have access to guns. That already happened down here in Florida. I saw an article on Friday, basically a man who was admitted for psychiatric care in his 50s. He went in for psychiatric care. They did not discuss exactly what was going on, whether, you know, it was anxiety or whatnot, but they immediately got an order. They came in. They had a list of firearms that he had. They took all of them. They took all of his ammunition, and they basically said they're going to keep them indefinitely until he can prove that he is psychologically stable to keep these weapons. It already happened in Florida on Friday. So now we see Texas, which is the second most populated state in the country, get riddled with Democrats in a lot of the county elections this year already. You guys saw that. Now we've seen this four-time IED bomb maker going out. Now, whether or not this is something inspired by the Muslim militants or the Mexican cartel or simply just somebody that's in the mood to make bombs, but regardless of what this is, this is somebody that has some background in this, because if you watch it, you could see that some of the early stuff they did seemed to be very basic with the package bombing. Now they're doing tripwire IED bombs, which regardless of what people think, those are not as easy as you to make as people think they are, and to make them effective. It seems to me that somebody is using this either A, to figure out a way to dial in larger bombs, or B, a way to scare the population into submission. Don't know. I'm just speculating here. My thoughts on all this as I'm watching this fourth one now from today. And now they use this as an excuse, because now it's no longer a doorstep bomb. Now it was a sidewalk bomb. There was a tripwire. So now they're forcing everybody basically on full-blown lockdown. You can't leave your house without getting permission. I don't know if they put out, you know, anything as far as if you left your home for a walk, or if you walked outside to walk your dog, if you basically were detained or reprimanded or arrested. I don't know. They didn't discuss any of that in the article. But I do find this rather troubling. So be praying for the residents over there. I make sure, you know, everybody's staying frosty. But I, you know, I said this 2 weeks ago. I said Texas is basically the next beta test for something they want to do. Most of the more liberal states have already been disarmed. I mean, New York, you know, Chicago's a nightmare over there with their gun laws and their gun crime. But Florida and Texas are two of the most populated states in the country, number two and three. And we also have an enormous amount of firearms in both of these states. So I don't know what the goal is going on in Texas. If this is just a lunatic madman that's building bombs and has nothing else to do with his time, I mean, that's a pretty sick thing to do. Or if there's some more underlying stuff going on right here that they're trying to step this up further and further and further. I joked with Harrison earlier today. I said, you know what? I said, I don't know why ATF doesn't just come out and ban building illicit bombs and building IEDs and make it illegal to blow people up with bombs. You know, that would make sense. If they came out with a law that said you can't make bombs and you can't blow people up with bombs, then it would stop this from ever happening again. Obviously, as a joke, so you guys know that that's kind of the concept of what they have tried to do with the firearm laws in all of these states now. So it's interesting to see how this is continuing to play out. Also, too, other news, Google has pretty much been busted again for blatantly manipulating the search results, which we already know they do that. Another article from All News, they came out and basically did a search for the girl that came out and said, girl says three shooters Parkland, which I don't know if you guys saw that interview. I saw it when it first came out. Girl basically said that there were three shooters in the school. Three shooters in the school. Repeatedly, three shooters in the school. And if you type that into Google, the video will never come up. No article, no statement, nothing about that will pop up whatsoever on Google. Despite the fact that the search is extremely specific, you won't find anything like that. If you use DuckDuckGo or even Bing or Yahoo, you will still actually get the news articles and the videos from the girl discussing that, about her seeing and hearing three different shooters in the school. And so what we're continuing to see here, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, is Google is attempting now to not only determine what is essentially conspiracy or what is true news and fake news, but they are now treating conspiracy theories or anything that doesn't go along with their specific narrative as essentially a hoax or fake news, and they're blocking it. They're not just burying it now, they're blatantly blocking it. And this is a very dangerous thing that we're starting to see now, because it's the same thing happened with the David Hogg interviews and the people that posted the video on YouTube a couple days after he came out, and they said, this kid's basically a crisis actor. He came out from California a year ago. He's blatantly pushing his gun agenda. His dad used to work for the FBI. This kid's a total goon. And, of course, YouTube immediately pulled the video down. And so this is something we're seeing more and more now with the internet censorship, why we have to stop using these platforms. And I know it's difficult with Google and YouTube and a lot of stuff that they provide, but we have to do the best to stop supporting them. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, you could go on and search for items like shopping, the shopping click on Google and type in the word AR-15 or anything of that sort. They're blocked. they won't even allow any search results for shopping to come up involving any type of firearms now. Now, they may have changed that recently, but as of last week, it was still in play. Now, they allowed you to order water guns and stuff like that. They had fixed that option because at first all that was getting blocked. But this is something that everybody has to understand, that these guys are playing for blood. They're not joking around anymore. They're doing everything they can to try to prevent the mainstream population from being able to get real, true news. And there's a reason why they're doing this, because in a couple years from now, they know that they want to be able to completely dominate and control the narrative. And if they can continue to put these little seeds in everybody's mind that, oh no, that's fake news, that's a conspiracy theory, oh, that's not what CNN said, that's fake, oh, that's not what MSNBC said, oh, that's fake, you don't need to listen to that. The reason why we have this on Google is because Google's real news. Google only shows you the real stuff. We don't put any of this hoax or conspiracy stuff up there. They very, very dangerous place for us to arrive, because at that point, who is the one who's actually deeming what is a conspiracy theory or what is a hoax or what is fake news? Because they're not allowing us to make our own decision. They have somebody behind the scenes telling us what we need to believe. And at that point, you have a full-blown tyrannical government on your hands, as we've seen in every case throughout history, when the government will not allow, or the media will not allow, real news to be displayed, and they only allow the mainstream narrative to be pushed. So just thought I would, you know, kind of add that in there. Also, too, with what we're seeing, I talked to Lana about this the other day, about the retired former Facebook vice president, Shamath Palihapitiy. I can't even, his last name, I'm sure I butchered it. Palihapitiya. Never been a really big fan of any of the guys that were based in Facebook or that got bankrolled to build it. But he came out now and absolutely blasted Facebook and all social media, essentially. He said that the social media network giant is silently brainwashing 2 million people for nefarious purposes. He said the short term, and this is what we talked about before, he said, I think we've created tools now that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. He said this to the Stanford Graduate School of Business. He said the short term dopamine driven feedback loops we've created are destroying how society works. It's not just an American problem. It's not about Russian ads or Russians meddling. This is a full-blown global problem of social media. He said it's eroding the core foundations of how people behave by and between each other, and I don't have a good solution. My only solution is I don't use any of these anymore. I haven't for years, and as for my kids, they're not allowed to use this stuff either. He said bad actors now can now manipulate large swaths of people to do anything they want. It's a bad, bad state of affairs. And we've seen that now, how YouTube will come in and block anybody from posting up, you know, a video about David Hogg maybe being a crisis actor, or something going on with Parkland shooting, or Sandy Hook, and they come in and block it. But then when CNN news are played, when NBC news is played, they immediately allow all those posts to completely go with the narrative that they want. He says, and we even compound the problem. He goes, we've curated our lives around this perceived sense of perfection because we get rewarded in these short-term signals like hearts, likes, thumbs up, and we conflate that with value and we conflate it with truth. And instead, it is not truth. It is actually very brittle and fake, because it forces you into this vicious cycle about what's the next thing I need to do because I need it back. I think about that compounded by 2 billion people now using these devices, and he goes, you don't realize it, but you're being fully programmed. He goes, it was unintentional when we first started this program, but now you've got to decide how much you want to give up. And so he's not even really talking about the whole aspect of that the CIA and other groups now essentially that have bought into Facebook. Even Edward Snowden has put this out, is Facebook is a full-blown surveillance company. I mean, that's all it's for now. It's not social media at all. It's a full-blown surveillance op. That's what they've been using it for quite some time now, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. That's why they have the full facial recognition software, some of the most advanced facial recognition software. I mean, that's why they can literally, you can post a photo up and you don't even have the photo loaded or have somebody that you're tagging in, and it'll already tell you this person's here, this person's here. We'll automatically tag them for you. That's just the basic stuff that they've been doing for years. They've escalated it way further than this. now. And so that's where it's headed, and that's what they're using it for now. So be very, very careful. That's why you guys noticed, if you've ever looked for me, I do not have a personal Facebook. I have a Health Masters one that we use, you know, to talk to our customers, to do promos and stuff like that. But other than that, I do not use Facebook in any way, shape, or form. I don't like that aspect of it, and it's too invasive in your life. Not to mention, I talked into detail last Friday on the Hagman Show, if you guys want to hear it in more detail, on how these ads that people are talking about now, when they mention something on the phone or via text, and all of a sudden they pull up Facebook, and what they talked about is on the ad as soon as they pull Facebook up. This is not an accident. When you sign up for Facebook or in these social media things, if you want to have full access to the platform, you have to give permissions to the microphone, the camera, your media files, and every aspect of the phone, essentially. So whenever you're sitting there, they're listening to everything you say. They're reading every text message. They're listening to every phone call. They're looking at every photo you take. That's why when you go on there and you talk about somebody, something on the phone, say you're talking about a vitamin or you're talking about a certain thing you're looking for, and you go on this social media platform, bam, it'll pop up and the ad will pop up as soon as you pull it up. This is going on repeatedly now. And so people think, well, it's for ad placement and for consumer sales. Okay, that's what it's for right now. But do you understand that they're literally recording everything you do, everything you say, everything you're around, every place you go? They're recording it with your microphone on at all times, even if you're not on the phone. Now, are they going to be able to use that in court and say, well, we're going to turn around and, you know, arrest you for something you said? Probably not, because a lot of that stuff would get thrown out. However, it's all going into that database out in Utah that I talk about so often. There's a reason why they put that metadata collective center out there. They want to literally have a file on every man, woman, and child in the entire world. That way, when they need to utilize it for something, when they say, you know what, John Smith, we listened to him for the last couple of years. We know what guns he has. We know what ammo he has. We know his right-wing ideology. He's the perfect guy to set up for the next shooting. Go ahead and pull his file. Find out everything he does, everything he said, everywhere he goes, because Google tracks you on everything with your phone, and we know exactly how to build a template for him to make sure he's the perfect patsy for this next shooting or whatever incident we want to wrap him up in. Or we need to look into him further, and we need to do more reconnaissance on him. That's what they're using this for, guys. That's why it's so important. If you're using your phone or if you're having a private conversation, don't have your phone with you, or have it completely in the other room or in the microwave with the microwave off, obviously. But do not be using your phone or have it beside you or in your pocket when you're having a very private, detailed conversation about stuff that you don't want anybody else to hear. If it's a work conversation, you know, you could really care less, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to actual stuff that you don't want anybody to hear, it's private, don't have your phone with you. And by all means, if you do have these social media stuff, if you're not using the platform that second, turn off all the permissions so they don't just have blatant access to your phone as much as they want. They want to dig into it. They at least have to violate your rights and your terms and conditions by going against it and not having the permission. So, but that's just a short note for right now, Dad. But I'm glad I heard you. Are you back on the show with us?
Oh, it's been a hectic day today. Yeah, I apologize for being late. We had signal, but it wasn't strong enough where we were, so I had to drive 10 miles down the road to get signal. Also, make sure you disable your cookies. Always disable all your cookies.
Yeah.
Don't allow any tracking cookies to go on your iPhone, your iPad, or any of your Android devices. Always tell you no cookies. Now, every once in a while, when you're on a website that you know and you may have to order something, they may use cookies in order to put the order through. You may have to turn the cookies on, but turn them back off. And then clear your history on a regular basis. That's real important, too, because it slows everything down anyhow. And Austin's right. If you're having a really if you're having like a attorney client meeting and you're talking to your attorney, it's best not to do it over the telephone. It's best not to do it on the telephone. It's best to do it face to face and keep all these recording devices that they put in our hands away from these recordings, because guys, you don't know who in the world's listening and you don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to set you up. There's no reason to get yourself involved in situations like this. That's why I always keep my cookies turned off. I always turn all my phones off at night. And it's just what I do. And then you can also order some of those different types of systems on the market right now. They basically, you can put yourself into a purse or whatever. And the purse actually is made out of a blocking technology. It uses underground burial cable, underwater cable technology that stops the transmission of any microwaves or any information or anything to your phone. It stops everything. You can't get phone calls. They have those available too. I know Toomey sells some luggage, and inside of the inside zipper of the luggage, it's lined with that same material, and they tell you to put your credit cards in that material whenever you go through customs or you go through different countries, etc., because people actually come up and scan the credit cards that you have in your luggage if you do not have them protected like that. So yes, that is the technology that we live in today. That is the technology that we have, and these guys can pretty much listen to anything that they want to listen to. Would you remember that one movie, Enemy of the State? I believe it was with Will Smith. Yep. And Gene Hackman. And he says, don't look up. The satellites are looking at you. He goes, you got to get rid of your telephone. You got to make sure you don't have any trackers. I mean, and you don't deal that paranoid with trackers and all that kind of stuff because, you know, you're not in anything really weird or strange anyhow. But the truth of the matter is they have the ability to know what you're doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without even trying very hard. Now, they only process, the NSA only processes about 1% of that information as far as knowing that individual, and they can pretty much give you all of the information. They have every one of our emails, every one of our texts, everything. All of our keystrokes, everything is recorded in their NSA database, so they can do a full-blown profile on you. Because remember, they're going to tie you into a 5G network, and they're going to give you an IP address. And you're going to become a data point for them, and they want to be able to control all of these data points. And yes, the computer technology we have today is that technologically advanced. Yes, it really is here, and we are living in not 1984. We're living in 2500 AD right now with the amount of technology we have hidden behind us. By the way, mainstream media is now acknowledging flying saucers, and it is acknowledging that they are real. But they're not talking about who's flying the flying saucers. Tucker Carlson was on the show yet talking about this. Tucker Carlson has shows a recent video of two Navy pilots encountering a UFO off the East Coast. This is a soft release of what's going on. The Pentagon pretends not to be interested in reports of UFOs flying close to military aircraft. Other government agencies also pretend to not investigate reports. They do investigate these, of course, but they don't want to reveal what they have found, and that tells us a lot about what they have. Remember, guys, The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso will go into detail, basically, and tell everybody that, you know, what's going on with these flying saucers. By the way, teens who gang-raped a woman for 10 hours are described by Sweden's media as victims. After a group of boys brutally gang-raped a woman for 10 hours, the Swedish media and social services characterized them as victims because of their ages. Guys, we have to understand something, that if we don't start drawing a line in the sand on all of this kind of stuff, we're not going to get any better than they are in Sweden, in the United States. They want this new wage doctrine to be brought into here, and they want us basically to capitulate to what they want, to their wishes also. And remember, the CIA runs the United States of America. The president is a figurehead, has been since the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And the only time that wasn't true was under H. Bush, the old man Bush, because he ran the CIA. He also ran the presidency, and they had to answer to him at that point when he was in the White House for the 8 years with Reagan and the 4 years when he was president himself. Because remember, he was running the Iran-Contra, all that stuff for Ronald Reagan. So all of this stuff is just upon us. And so when Donald Trump stepped into the White House, I'm going to defend him for just a moment. He probably had no idea that all of this was going on to the extent that it is. He probably didn't realize that he was going to be a figurehead and he would have to work within established priorities and parameters with these guys. Now, I have friends of mine. Now, I'm not going to mention any names because they probably are listening to the show, but I've got one of the pastors that's on the Presidential Pastoral Committee. In other words, this group of evangelists that were supposed to be meeting with the president on an ongoing basis. Well, it's not on an ongoing basis anymore. It's been almost a year now since they've met with him. And, you know, it's one of those things that he's getting more and more and more sequestered in the White House. However, they do have a person who's their liaison in the White House who basically meets and talks and emails these guys back and forth. And they say they're in contact with this person several times a week as far as finding out what's going on and what the president is trying to do, etc. But now, let me ask you guys a question. And I said this to my friend the other day who's the pastor. He got all mad at me. He says, I'm not going to argue with you about this. And I said, I'm not arguing about it. I said, how do you know that the information that you're getting from the people that you're speaking with is actually what's going on in the White House? How do you know they're giving you true information? Now, again, a lot of people are quoting this Q guy. Well, Q is this, and Q is that, and Q is this, and Q's answering right to the president. Prove it. I want to prove it. Everything Q has said, everything that I can find that he has said, I can't verify anything. And I said that to one of my friends the other day. I said, I can't verify it. And they said, well, that's what's happening. I said, you don't know that. Because remember, the CIA is the kings of disinformation. They're the king of alternative news. They're the king of coming in and discrediting anybody they want to discredit and basically putting out as much fake news as they possibly can to keep the masses calmed down. If the masses in the United States that have supported Donald Trump, which I have, and we voted for him, which I did, if they can be held at bay and not hold his feet to the fire, and they can tell everybody he's playing three-dimensional chess. I'm so over that. I'm so over the three-dimensional chess garbage comment because, guys, listen to me. You don't put Gottlieb in the FDA, who's a huge drug and vaccine pusher. You don't put him in the FDA. You don't put a CIA torturer to the head post of the CIA. You don't take the head guy from the CIA for the past year and throw him into the head of the State Department. You don't throw an extra, start throwing military troops into Syria to invade Syria. You don't double the amount of production of drugs coming out of Afghanistan in your first year of tenure.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yep.
Guys, when I start seeing that Donald Trump is able to do, I'm not saying that Donald Trump wants to do any of this stuff, nor am I saying he's involved in any of this stuff. I'm just saying that it's like I told you guys to start with. We'll see if Donald Trump is in charge, if the chemtrails stop, if we start getting acknowledgement about these chemtrails and they stop. We'll know what's going on. But guys, none of it stopped. None of the weather geoengineering has stopped. None of it stopped. All of this stuff is obfuscation. It's shell and games. It's bread and circuses for the masses for us to think that Donald Trump has the ability to go in and change. Guys, we're trying to fix a spiritual problem in the United States with a political solution. It can't be done. Spiritual problems cannot be corrected by political solutions. It doesn't work that way. We've got a problem with the United States. We've allowed these Sabbatean Kabbalists, Frankists, Luciferians, you know, whatever you want to call them, Khazarians, to come in, take over the media, take over the entertainment industry, and basically completely reprogram the population of this country, especially the young children, into filth, debauchery, and this unbelievably horrible, horrible ethics. And that's what they're doing slowly, because they want us to serve their master, Lucifer. They want our children to serve their master, Lucifer. So until Donald Trump can get the CIA under control, Austin, until he can start arresting people, why do you think Hillary Clinton's not going to be arrested? Yeah, I told you that last week. It's not going to happen. She has got too many buried bodies, too many places, too much trash on too many different people to ever be put in jail to allow the opportunity for her to even have a chance to release the information that she knows. So what we have here is a president that can only do so much. Now, where our true power lies is this, is the local levels of the congressional leaders that we send to Washington and our state representatives. That's what we need to change. If our state representatives here in Florida had refused to sign that gun bill legislation, we would have never sent it to Governor Scott. It wouldn't have happened. The same thing in Congress in Washington. When we have these midterm elections in November, we've got to make sure that we vote for the patriot candidate, regardless of whether they're a Democrat or a Libertarian or a Republican. It makes absolutely no difference. We have to know what their rights are, what their opinions are on the Second Amendment, on the First Amendment, and all this other kind of stuff. Guys, people are sending me emails, well, we have to go to a military tribunal. Trump's setting up military tribunals. I hope and I pray to God that Trump doesn't set up military tribunals. We're talking straight dictatorship with military tribunals. Your constitutional rights are thrown out the door as if you just got shipped to Guantanamo Bay if you want to have a military tribunal. You don't have a jury to the right of your peers. You don't have appeals rights. You don't have any of that stuff. We're going to hang you after we finish the trial today in about 20 minutes. That's how military tribunals work, or a firing squad. Guys, we've got to go back to the Constitution, and we've got to take back our country, by the city, by the county, by the state, and by our congressional leaders, and we've got to get term limits in place, and we've got to get these guys that are career politicians like this queer guy, Lindsey, out of the White House, whatever his name is. We've got to get rid of him. We've got to get rid of McCain. Of course, McCain's got his exit strategy now anyhow because there's a brain tumor. I don't know, he'll be back around anyhow. He's pretty much done. So all of these people that have been there and career politicians who've been linked into the CIA, into all these special operative programs, these guys have to go away. Then if we get rid of those people and we give Trump people he can actually work with and we get rid of, you got to remember, the Shabbat sect, there's a bunch of different Judaism sects. You've got the progressives, you got the conservatives, you got the Shabbat, you got a bunch of other smaller subsects of Judaism. The Shabbat sect is the extreme radical sect of Judaism that's all caught up in dispensationalism, Israel running the world. Basically, everybody else is a goyim or a dog or an animal to them. Okay, that's who they are. And this is who Jared Kushner is. So we've got to get those radical folks out of power, and we have to get a bridle on AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, and we've got to realize that 95% of the Jewish people in the United States are involved in any of this stuff. Am I gone?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
You're gone for about 30 seconds. I don't know if it was me or you, though. I can hear you now.
Well, yeah, I'm done. Go ahead and start on your next story to let Todd know. I've got a full signal here, so I'm not sure if it was me or you, bud.
Okay. Absolutely. A $1.51 billion settlement has now been reached in the nationwide class action lawsuit filed in Kansas federal court over Syngenta's genetically modified corn seed. This is believed to be the largest agricultural litigation settlement in U.S. history. The settlement covers all U.S. corn producers as well as grain handling facilities and ethanol plants nationwide who sold corn priced after September 15, 2013, Syngenta was being sued for selling a strain of corn called the Viterra to U.S. farmers starting in 2011 before it was approved by China for corn imports. This resulted in U.S. corn farmers being effectively locked out of the China market until the corn strain was approved in 2014. Eight state class action lawsuits were also certified in the multi-district litigation. The four co-lead plaintiffs counsel in the nationwide class action lawsuit were representing more than 7,000 Kansas farmers and the first only state action class action lawsuit to be tried to a verdict. So this is interesting that we see a big loss for this giant biotech company, Syngenta. I wish we could get something rolling like this for all the people that have been seriously injured and harmed from the health effects from GMOs and glyphosate and so forth. But so apparently what it looks like Syngenta did was they sold the corn to all these guys before the corn was ever approved to be imported into China, knowingly that these guys couldn't really export the corn whatsoever out of the country. And so basically they got stuck with a whole lot of it. I just don't know why we can't get rid of all these biotech firms, Dad, and go back to more natural, organic growing and get away from all this biotech, GMO, glyphosate, Roundup garbage. I really don't understand. I guess because there's so much money to be made with these GMOs and these patented seeds that they can have the control over everything with it, I guess they're never going to allow us to go back to what we were before.
And I'll also remember, too, Austin, a lot of the soil has been poisoned with glyphosate now.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, hundreds of millions of acres have been poisoned with glyphosate in our farm belts. And so probably the only thing that's going to grow properly in that soil for many, many years is GMO, glyphosate-resistant crops. I mean, so we've got ourselves into a giant mess with this glyphosate. By the way, the German court is ordering Volkswagen to rehire a suspected ISIS recruiter who told the co-workers that they would all die. A German unemployment court ruled that the automobile giant Volkswagen would have to reinstate an employee they fired in 2016 for allegedly recruiting people to fight for the Islamic State and threatening co-workers. The employee was also connected to ISIS, according to the police. The Hanover, this is where my parents are from, by the way, Hanover. The Hanover State Employment Court ruled that Samar B., a German-Algerian tire fitter who worked with Volkswagen for 8 years, was unlawfully fired. The court ordered that Volkswagen has to reinstate him in 1 month's time. Two of his known associates had traveled to Syria in 2014 to join ISIS and were later killed fighting for the Islamic terrorist group. In December 2014, the employee was stopped at Hanover Airport for boarding a flight to Istanbul carrying a $9,000 in euros and a drone. So I don't know what in the world's going on in Germany and what in the world they're doing by hiring people that have been actually known to be recruiting ISIS, threatening to kill the other employees, telling me they have to go back to work, and telling Volkswagen they have to hire them. Guys, again, this is straight political correctness in Germany, run amok. What do you think, Austin?
It is, man. It's absolutely crazy what they're doing to Europe now. I mean, they're doing it over in the UK. They're doing it in Sweden. They're doing it in Germany. Where, I mean, it doesn't matter what these guys do. It doesn't matter how they act. They pretty much get a free pass on everything. And then to make it even worse, if you come out and you're a German or you're a Sweden or you're a UK resident and you criticize this or you speak out about it or you go on social media and you let everybody know what's going on, they immediately lambast you, if not arrest you and hold you and detain you for basically violating these Muslims' rights to free speech or whatever other aspect of, you know, they want to use against them. This is bizarre to me that this is what's actually being reached right now over there in Europe, and they're intentionally pushing it to the extent now of completely ruining everybody's background, life, ethics, morals, cultural, everything over there, all in the name of bringing in this just unbelievably gigantic, aggressive Muslim horde that's completely changing the way Europe will look forever. Also, too, I saw this today. There was a big meeting about basically 5G and talking cars. Apparently, the Obama's administration proposal to mandate vehicle-to-vehicle communication in all cars is essentially running into issues now because the 5G has not moved fast enough. The V2V signaling mandate was basically outdated and costly, and that's why it's not been done yet. And that was what Obama tried to get done about 8-9 years ago. He wanted to start to where every new vehicle would actually talk to one another. This is how they were going to integrate the autonomous vehicles. This is also, too, how they were going to base it off the 5G network. It was going to run on basically a 5.9 gigahertz bandwidth. And so they wanted all the vehicles to be able to basically talk to one another and bounce off of everything in the 5G general purpose network that they said mobile carriers are planning to deploy in the years ahead and leverage from any other car connectivity services. So this just goes to show you that they are not slowing down with this at all. Now they're trying to figure out another way to get this implemented through the DOT, because basically the DOT has basically said that we don't have the budget for this right now. We're not going to implement this, that it's overtly costly to mandate this V2V technology, and we're not going to require it at all. But this goes to show you the level that we were on and the basically the road that we were on with the Obama administration, how they want to do something this idiotic with actually make every new vehicle communicate with one another. And of course, this is just going to lead to more and more and more invasion into your right of privacy and your right to basically travel freely on your way once they have the ability to monitor all these vehicles off of one another on a regular basis and push to a more autonomous vehicle driving style, which is what they've tried to do for years now. They've just run into a lot of issues with it.
I know, buddy. I'm glad. Hopefully, we get that stuff stopped. By the way, Goldman Sachs, good old Goldman Sachs, top banker named Germany's deputy finance minister. Surprise, surprise. Having populated most central banks with its alumni, Goldman is now aiming even higher, right at sovereign governments. And on Monday morning, a spokesman for Germany's finance ministry said that the co-head of Goldman Sachs in Germany, Jürg Krukies, will become deputy finance minister in the new German government. According to Reuters, Krukies will be responsible for financial market policy and Europe in its new role, the spokesman said. In other words, with Mario Draghi, another Goldman alumni, potentially resigning from the ECB, Goldman is loath to give up his control of key European policy developments and has made its move. In other words, Goldman wants to be in control. Again, this is the Rothschild Central Bank. So, guys, it's really amazing to me that this is happening right now in Germany, but it's already happened in places like Greece and Italy and France. They're taking over, just like they are in the United States with the CIA infiltration. They're taking over the legislation and the people that are running for office all over the country and these appointees and over the world, Austin. What do you think?
No, that's exactly what they've done. They want to completely dominate the entire bank model of everywhere. And I mean, this is why I tell so many people, be very careful what you do with your money right now, because these guys control and run everything. I mean, look at what happened with the ridiculous Bitcoin this year. I mean, I told everybody, be very careful with that old thing. You know, as it ran up to $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 of Bitcoin and it lost over half of its entire worth in a few days. This is what they do. They manipulate the markets. They do what they can to completely take as much money from, you know, the citizens, the peasants, they would so to speak them as, and they do this, and it's just, this is what the bankers have done for hundreds of years. They've done this in almost every country they get involved in, and this is why they constantly get thrown out of countries on a regular basis, because this is what they do. And the problem is now they've got such a foothold with the Federal Reserve and the reserve currency of the world with the U.S. dollar, and all the other banks, as far as in the EU now, that they really can't be thrown out anymore. They have so much of a foothold that it's almost next to impossible to get these guys out. I mean, the Federal Reserve, that should have already, just the fact that we haven't even audited them shows you how strong of a financial institution, as far as how much power it controls and how much leverage it has, and how they do not do anything that they do not have to do, and they do not take orders from anybody. I mean, think about that for a second. The Reserve Bank that handles our currency, that basically dictates our monetary policy, so to speak, in most cases, will not allow themselves to be audited, even under some type of presidential order or anything. They just don't do it because they don't have to. They're not an entity of the United States. They're not an entity of anything. They're their own government, essentially. They're their own Federal Reserve. They don't have to answer to anybody. The only thing I guess you could do is if the president, if Trump decided he wanted to sign an executive order to have essentially troops, you know, send in the Marine Corps, send in the Army to go into all the Federal Reserve banks to confiscate their books and to basically have them audited by a secondary party, I guess they could do that, Dad. But other than that, we've tried to do it the congressional way. We've tried the issue before. Remember, they did that, what, 15 years ago. They tried to audit their books. They got through like 1/10 of 1/100th of it, and there was like $5 trillion in discrepancies that they couldn't account for, and they slammed the books and said, oh, we're not going to get audited anymore. Sorry about this. You guys need to go and have a nice day. No more audits for you guys. Goodbye. Who gets to do stuff like that?
Well, you know, Ron Paul headed that partial audit. What was crazy about it is that you're exactly right. They basically said they and when they were audited, they were before Congress, they were asking them questions, and they were like, there were trillions and trillions of dollars missing. They said, oh, we sent it to banks. What banks you sent it to? I don't remember. We need to know what banks. Well, they're around here. They're somewhere around the world. But they refused. Bernanke refused. He refused to answer the question. Refused. By the way, new study finds antidepressants to be largely ineffective and potentially dangerous. This is an interesting article. The first two pharmaceutical antidepressants were clinically introduced in the 1950s, and the conditions they were supposed to treat would have had that time been found about 50 to 100 persons per million. Today, some 13% of Americans now take antidepressants daily. It's like 40, 50 million people, guys, even though we don't yet understand the long-term effects of most psychotropic drugs. As research develops, however, it is becoming clear that the truth about antidepressants is far different from the rosy picture painted by pharmaceutical marketers. In a recent study conducted at Zurich University of Applied Sciences, researcher Michael Hengartner came to the conclusion that antidepressants are largely ineffective and potentially harmful due to several flaws, such as publication reporting bias, unblinding of outcome assessors, concealment and recoding of serious side effects. The efficacy of antidepressants is systematically overestimated. That means that they're saying that they do more than they do, and harm is systematically underestimated, according to Hengartner. I mean, he's warning people this stuff doesn't work. Then another study that was done a few years ago, it said that omega-3 fats were as effective, if not more so effective, on mild to moderate forms of depression than Prozac, these serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And let's not even get started with Xanax. I mean, that product should never have been approved because of what it does to the brain chemistry. You get so addicted to that stuff, you can actually die from seizures coming off of that product. So, guys, be really, really careful before you start allowing people to give you drugs. I mean, like, for instance, I mashed my finger pretty good this weekend, and I had to get an x-ray today, and, you know, in a trailer hitch. I was being careful, but not careful enough. And so I had to go to the doctor today to get x-rays. And first thing he says is, well, I want to go ahead and give you an injection of antibiotics to make sure that you don't get an infection. I said, I'm okay with that, but I want to know what's in the antibiotics. I want to know if they're using a sterilant. I want to know if they're using aluminum. I want to know if they're using an adjuvant. I want to know what they're doing with this stuff, because they usually don't do that in antibiotics, but I want to know what's in it. He said, okay. So he brought me the label. It was so small, Austin, they had to bring me a magnifying glass because you couldn't read it. I couldn't read it with glasses. And he goes, good luck reading that. And I said, I know how to do it. So he brings a magnifying glass, and I'm reading this thing with magnifying glass, and there were no additives to it, so I allowed them to inject it in my body. Now, guys, you have to be that vigilant when you do stuff like that. You don't want to take injections unless you look to see if it has aluminum or look to see if it contains any kind of thimerosal or any kind of adjuvant. You've got to know if they've got squalene in it, all kinds of other stuff. You need to know before you put this stuff into your body, Austin. So it's so important. Before you start on these antidepressants, guys, try a natural approach first. If your doctor will let you do that, he can't make you do anything, but if you'll be willing to try a natural approach first, you'll be amazed what 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan, cod liver oil, methylated B vitamins do. Almost immediately, within 24 hours, you see the difference. So, guys, it's one of those things. Be very, very vigilant with everything that you are told to put in your bodies, and always ask questions. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're 100% right. I mean, that's why we put together some of those basic kits on the website, even the basic healthy lifestyle kit. I mean, most people get such good results just from that. And also, too, be sure, you know, if you do go to the doctor and he wants to put you on something, you know, first off, do some research on it. Go online and type in the drug you're looking for or you're looking at or he's trying to prescribe you and look up deaths. You know, whether it's Paxil suicides, Paxil lawsuits, whatever drug of your choice that they're trying to give you, look it up. I'm like, if you look up GlaxoSmithKline Paxil lawsuits, your jaw hit the floor. Or if you type in anything else with a lot of these high-end drugs that they've done for years now, and you find out how deadly they are and how they massively, massively push down what's going on, and they sweep it under the rug when it comes to deaths, suicides, homicides, all types of issues with it. They don't even discuss it at all. They completely hide it because, as I told you before last week, the media is the pharmaceutical company. They run and control it all because they literally provide 60 to 80% of the ads of what goes on now. So when you're taking, so if you're looking, say Fox News, and they operate and they say, we need $100 billion this year, $100 billion to basically get in our budget, and we have to get these ads, we have to get these commercials, we have to get all this stuff in there. Well, when you have somebody like Pfizer come in and say, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll give you $70 billion up front, and we're going to basically control, you know, majority of the ads that go on your site. Do you think Fox, once they take that money, they're going to all of a sudden say, no, guys, you can't push this product. And if you do push it, you got to basically say something different about it because it's so deadly and you got to let everybody know. And also, too, when we hear about GlaxoSmithKline and Paxil and people killing themselves on it, we're going to do full exposés on it on our news channel. You know what they're going to say? No, that's fine. Actually, we're not going to give you our money anymore. We're going to take it somewhere else to somebody that will capitulate and isn't going to do that. So you guys have a nice day. That's why the media is the pharmaceutical company. They own and control them essentially with all of their dollars. So be very aware of that whenever you start looking, especially these antidepressants, man, because some of them have some really, really, really bad side effects, and along with a lot of them. I had a real good customer, couple come in today. It's a customer of ours, and she had an issue where basically she went down to Haiti and ended up getting Hep C years and years ago, and because she was working in a clinic. Well, she basically came back and went on a medication to get rid of the hepatitis C, and it got rid of it. It ended up killing it, and the virus, but ended up having issues with blood pressure now. So now she's trying to get her blood pressure under control, and so I was trying to give them some different supplements and protocol to get under a healthy blood pressure, and then so after, you know, they got rid of the hepatitis C and they started having all these blood pressure issues, they went online and looked it up, and sure enough, this drug that ends up killing hepatitis C, like 95% of the people that take it have lifelong problems with blood pressure and cardiac issues the rest of their life after they use this drug. Guys, you got to start looking at this stuff and decide, is that the route I want to go, or do I want to try to take a long-ray approach with vitamin C intravenously along with viral graphis and other nutrients to see if I can knock it out? There's options there. It's not always going to work 100%, but just be aware of what you're putting in your body, just like Dad said, especially when you go with a doctor pharmaceutical approach, because in most cases, there are short- and long-term side effects that you are not expecting with a lot of these drugs.
Okay, you're absolutely right, Austin. We're not giving people medical advice. They need to follow their advice of their physician, and they need to work with their physicians as far as titrating or changing dosing any prescription meds. But the way I always tell them is this: ask your physician, can we try a natural approach using supplements and dietary change and lifestyle change first? Do you have a problem with that? And if the physician says, yes, I have a problem with that, I don't want you doing that, you probably need to find another medical doctor. That's how I always say, Austin. By the way, let me talk about salt for a second. This is a really good article. Salt should be considered the relic and the symbol of the ocean where life started, according to this article, which I don't believe life started in the ocean, but that's okay. But the ocean is still present in our bodies. Salt makes up about 90% of the ocean's minerals, the same percentage found in our blood. Essentially, our blood reflects the composition of the ancient ocean from where life began, according to this article, but we know it's not true because we've read Genesis. That fact alone should varnish salt with the utmost respect. And salt is everywhere. Now, the reason they're saying this about the salt is because our bodies need large amounts of salt to stay healthy. Salt used to be traded for as much as gold in the old days, in ancient times. It was used for treating bruises, osteoarthritis problems, swelling, infections, sweating, vomiting, or diarrhea. It was an antiseptic agent. All of this stuff that salt was being used for. However, what happened is, Austin, people started talking about how bad salt was, and instead of started saying, hey, that sodium chloride is bad. Well, actually, the table salt that you get, the straight sodium chloride, the bleached nonsense, the mess that you get that has all kinds of things, including fluoride added to it, that's pretty bad stuff. Now, the salt that we sell in the office is absolutely amazing. And here's some information on what a large study just found out. It was done in 17 countries, and it recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and has found the advice given by doctors to their heart patients and others with regards to sodium has been wrong. Conventional advice given by most Western doctors and even published by the U.S. Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Health Human Services, has recommended that those under 50 years of age limit their sodium intake to less than 2,300 grams per day, and those over 50 to less than 1,500 milligrams a day. In a recent study conducted by nearly 400 scientists around the world, following 156,000 people between the ages of 36 and 70, living in 620 cities and countries all over the world, they found that the researchers who measured urinary sodium potassium levels among 100,000 people from these five continents by sampling fasting urine in the morning, the urine samples were analyzed and compared with the medical history and prescription history of each subject. The researchers especially focused on any history of cardiovascular disease and death, and the researchers continued to follow these guys for 3.7 years. Now, they eliminated cancer people from the study, but the researchers found that consuming less than 3,000 milligrams of sodium a day was associated with a 27% increase in cardiovascular disease and death. Now, you heard what I just said. Consuming between 3,000 and 6,000 milligrams of sodium each day was found to be associated with a lower risk of cardiovascular disease and death. Consuming more than 6,000 milligrams of salt a day was associated with a 15% increase in cardiovascular disease and mortality. So it's somewhere between 3,000 to 6,000 that they're saying it's going to be healthier for you. But guys, again, check with your doctor, because guys, really, it's one of those things that salt is important, and without it, you can't stay alive. And now you say, why have they made this huge mistake? Well, why has the medical industry been so off about this? In this paper, the study author suggested that current sodium intake guidelines are based primarily upon shorter studies and study models that don't apply directly to the general population. In other words, this current study removes those elements, allowing for a direct understanding between how much sodium people are consuming and how much is healthy and how much is not healthy. Because the kidneys carefully manage the body's level of sodium and potassium, urinary samples provide an accurate way to monitor someone's total sodium consumption. It says hypertension mostly is unrelated to sodium consumption. So guys, this article is really, really good. It's Green Meadow Info. It also says that sodium appetite is explained and the modern refined salt and sodium balance. You can read all of this information at greenmedinfo.com. The article is written by Adams, Case Adams. He's a naturopath. And it's called Conventional Sodium Advice Wrong, Large Study Confirms. Go ahead and take a look at it. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for being part of the Health Masters family. We had the pleasure again of praying for you again this weekend. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. Sorry I was late today. We had that signal messed up on the internet. I appreciate you guys. And you guys, thanks so much for your prayers. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. You guys are the best. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You're awesome. You got the write-up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, guys, thank you for all the support over the weekend, too. Got a lot of emails from everybody, so trying to respond back to those. Also, I got an email from one of our friends a second ago here. This is funny, from an article out in Denver now. No bump stocks have been been surrendered 1 month after Denver City's ban. Apparently, in late January, Denver City voted to ban all possessions of bump stocks, and you basically had to turn them into the Denver Police Department. And if you get caught with one now, it's basically like a $1,000 fine and 180 days in jail, something ridiculous, just to be in possession of a plastic accessory that goes on your firearm now. This is what I told you guys about. The issues that we're seeing with this is that the line will not stop here. They will continue to ban and ban and ban and ban and confiscate and ban as much as they can as long as we allow them to do this. It's funny to me, though, even after a month after this law has been enacted in Denver, not a single bump fire has shown up to basically be turned in. And they, of course, let everybody know, you would not be reimbursed for your $300 or $400 slide fire or bump fire stock. You basically had to give it to us for free, or else you were going to be a criminal in possession of it. It boggles my mind to the tyrannical extent that we have allowed this country to go, even down here in Florida and a lot of other states now too, that we actually think and allow these guys to write laws against the people to start confiscating pieces of plastic that absolutely can do nothing to anybody. This isn't a receiver. This isn't even a magazine. This isn't a trigger group. This isn't a barrel. This is a piece of plastic, an accessory that goes on the firearm. Just boggles my mind. So I appreciate everything, guys. Healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, of course, we have the product of the week, which is the Probiotic DF. You guys can go on there and check that out. And also, too, be sure the Ultimate Multiple Powder is on sale still for 30% off. All you got to do is type in Doug30 at the checkout page whenever you go to order that, and you can get that product on sale right now. We've really been trying to do the best we can to allow a lot of people to get to try this product because of what good results we've been getting with the family and with friends and with a lot of our customers that have been using it. So we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for everything you do for us. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.